Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
And we're back. Hour two. And we're, well, a bit of the next part. I don't know how long it'll take. I don't think it'll be an hour.
I would think not.
I don't think so. Ladies rustling about.
She does that.
Sniffing and looking around. So we are going to continue our emails. This is from Paige. So she sent an email and voicemail. Mm-hmm. Two voicemails. All right. So warning, this is an Evil Regal's take on the Doctor. You've been forewarned. And we have a lot of good friends that are Evil Regals.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of good friends that are Dearies. We are quite open to people sending in emails about Snow, Charming, Henry, anybody. Mm-hmm. Just send them in. We'd love to hear your thoughts as well. So, I just wanted to say that as well, because I think sometimes people feel like, well, you just care about Evil Regals. We love Evil Regals. I have a lot of good friends that are Evil Regals, but this is a fan podcast.
Right.
So we certainly are open to
other groups.
Yeah, sure.
Team 7.
Team 7, Snow. Yeah, Snow. Anybody. So
even
send
the
them
hookers.
In. Oh, hookers. Boy. Yeah, I cannot believe I have not gotten a, you know, Hook email.
Yeah.
It's crazy about Hook and... That was a great episode, fighting Rumpelstiltskin and all that. And
dude, that was pretty epic.
Mila.
And he is beautiful.
Well.
I'm just saying, he's beautiful.
He has very coiffed hair, and he has a nice English
Who's
accent.
Who's looking at his hair, man? I'm staring at the eyes.
Okay, all right. Okay, so this is Paige. Warning, this is an Evil Regal's take on the Doctor. You've been forewarned. I absolutely loved Regina's therapy sessions with Archie. I did too. I love that Archie recognized Regina's pain and sees that she's struggling to redeem herself. And he genuinely wants to help her. I hope and believe that can build a strong bond together, especially since they both experienced emotional abuse at the hands of their parents. Good point.
Very good point.
Yeah. Now, see, I mean, yeah, these are the types of stories that kind of have this long life that they've kind of laid these parts out.
Mm-hmm.
And great point, Paige. But yeah, just, they do have a lot in common. Ah, it was great. I really hope we get to see more of these types of therapy sessions in future episodes. Now, if I remember right, there were photos of not necessarily therapy sessions, but I think he was sitting with David talking about certain things in mm-hmm. season one. But they didn't film those, or they didn't release those scenes.
Yeah, they did.
They cut them.
He totally had a session with Jiminy.
Hold on. In the bar, there was some like promo photos that they released, but they had to cut the scenes out. We didn't get all of the cut scenes
on
the DVD
set.
I'm
sure we didn't.
No. So, but yeah, I mean, I tweeted out once to Raphael. I said, don't you feel bad? Most of the scenes, you know, got cut were yours because I kept seeing these photos, and I was like, man, you know, we're going to see more Archie. He's like, no, less Archie. But anyway, I continue. I really, really hope that Regina is one who teaches Henry how to ride a horse. Good point. That would be such a great bonding experience for them, and I think it would really help her to rebuild their relationship. Excellent point. Yep.
Yeah, that would be actually.
Yep. And plus, you know, I doesn't Snow, but, you know, she did help Snow in the time where, you know, the horse was kind of crazy.
Regina is a very good horsewoman, yep. And she has a deep love for the horses. So, yeah, it would be a nice little bonding moment for them.
Yep.
And she'd be a perfect person to teach him.
And there is a lot, you know, I mean, I didn't see the movie The Horse Whisperer, but there is the whole idea of becoming, you know, friends with the horse. You know, just like Charming is saying, you know, the knight and his steed, you know, it's like you and your horse, you have to, you know, clean up after him and develop this relationship. And, you know, you have to take care of each other.
You do.
Because if you do, he'll take care of you.
I grew up with horses, and I had a horse. She was amazing. She was beautiful. She was an Irish pony, Connemara, and she would follow me around the corral without any lead. I could jump on her back, and I could get her to do anything I wanted, go wherever I wanted her to go. I could sit up on the railing, and she'd put her head in my lap. I mean, we had a bond. And it was because we had the bond that I could get her to do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
And she was awesome. I really loved that horse a lot. And her name was Queen Anne's Lace.
Okay.
She was Mary Ann was her stable name, but her official name was Queen Anne's Lace because she was all white. She was beautiful. I miss that horse.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I will really be disappointed if she is not the one to teach him. Also, I was expecting there to be a Regina and Henry scene at the end of The Doctor, one where Regina explained to Henry who Daniel was, and I was disappointed that we didn't see anything like that at all. Hopefully, that is something that will be forthcoming in a future episode. Colleen, I hope you don't hate me for what I'm about to say, but this episode really made me hate Rumpelstiltskin. The way he treated Regina throughout this episode made my blood boil. He has manipulated her from her life from the very beginning, from the day she was born, I suspect, just so she would cast a curse for him, and he just sees her as a pawn in his sick, twisted little game.
I don't hate her for that. She's entitled to her opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I wasn't real thrilled with Rumpel this episode either, because I did see that he was manipulating her, and not for her own good. It was to serve his purpose.
Yeah.
And I didn't care for that much myself. That's not the Rumpelstiltskin. Well, it's not the Rumpelstiltskin I wish he was sometimes. It is very typical of him, but yeah, I wasn't thrilled with him either.
Well, and I think
I still love him.
Yeah. Well,
but I just,
and I think,
wasn't thrilled with the way he manipulated her.
And I think we do see how decisions affect other things. And one decision just kind of cascades into other things. And if he would have thought more, this is what I remember kind of skimming over this email before. And he is a coward because he can't do things by himself. He has to get other people to do it for him. And some people may say, well, that's genius. No, it's being a coward. If you can't do something,
look,
and you manipulate other people to do it.
He's being very lawyerly in that he didn't do it. They did.
Right.
He manipulated them into doing it.
Right.
Secondly, it is him actually having control and power. It gives him a sense of it's a rush. He's in control. He's the puppet master, and he likes that because he came from being such a coward. In his mind, this gives him the power over everyone. Problem is, yes, on some level, it is him being very cowardly because he's not doing stuff on his own. However, he's not doing it because he's afraid. He's doing it because he's actually taking power.
I mean, have you thought about this?
He's addicted to power.
Okay. Have you thought about this, though? I mean, in a alternate universe, Rumpelstiltskin actually cares enough about people that he actually helps them without anything in return. You know,
because
he's
we'll
always
see that someday.
Well, he's always on the take. He wants trade. He wants something, and it's always about
sure.
him.
Okay, sure.
But I'm just, you know, we. The more I watch Once Upon a Time, the more I think about Star Wars over and over and over. And this is another, you know, great example. We know that Anakin Skywalker became Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Regina becomes this evil queen.
Right.
But how and why, now we're filling in the gaps. And so initially, what she said was because, you know, Snow couldn't keep a promise. And that was kind of driving her. But actually, we see something else now. We see the manipulator coming in, showing her power, pushing her and nudging her this way to fulfill his purposes. So, you
know. Right. And again, it comes back to, from a lawyer perspective, did you actually... No, I didn't do it.
Right.
So-and-so did.
Yeah.
He's making everyone else a scapegoat.
So it's a Manson deal.
Kind of. I mean, as sick as that is,
yeah,
in a sense it is. I didn't do blah, blah, blah. So-and-so did. Yeah, but you manipulated them into doing it, and you conned them into doing it, and you took something in return for it. So, yeah, you are technically culpable. However, in a court of law, it doesn't hold up.
This is a wild podcast. I
know.
I don't think I've ever said Manson in any podcast ever I've ever done. So,
no.
All right, sorry. we will get back.
Yeah, we digress. But back to the email. And no, I don't hate Paige.
No.
I think she's awesome.
Okay. I know everything he does for a purpose of finding Bay, but as an evil regal, to me, the ends does not justify the means. Rumpel did everything he could to make Regina miserable. He asked her to do to a unicorn the exact same thing her mother did to kill her true love. And when she refused because she knew it was evil, she didn't want to hurt anyone or anything. He adds insult to injury by making her feel bad about the goodness still left in her and repeating the phrase that her mother used against her. I had such high hopes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep, definitely manipulation is probably Rumpelstiltskin's just
forte?
High
signature?
Card, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, manipulation is definitely his thing. And he's good at it. He's really good at it.
You know, and like I said before, you know, I think definitely he's redeeming himself with Belle, which may, hopefully it reverberates to everybody else.
Right. Well, and here's the other thing. I know that it seems like everything he does is for Bay, but I think there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
I think Bay is one... the primary factor in it, but like I said, I think it's this whole, he wants to feel better about himself because he allowed his wife to run off with Captain Hook, didn't do anything to stop her. He felt helpless. He ran away from the Ogre War, didn't fight, didn't, you know, stand up, didn't be a man. He was too cowardly. And I think that's what drives him in everything he does, including looking for Bay, because again, he let Bay go because he was too afraid. So I think this is his whole thing. In his mind, having all the power means he has no more fear. Problem is, that's not true. Power does not erase fear.
Right.
That's a powerful statement right there. Power does not erase fear.
True.
Write that down. And
okay.
I said it.
All right.
So I'm just saying, I think that, yes, granted, Bay is his driving factor, his primary factor that we see, I think the underlying true factor is he is absolutely trying to erase the fear, and he believes power is the way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wrong.
Okay, so...
And with Belle, his redemption with Belle could actually be the catalyst that will start him, because what erases fear? Love.
Mm-hmm. True.
True love erases fear.
So, okay.
Write that down.
Do we need,
I said that.
Right. Wow. It's a wild podcast tonight. See? And I haven't been drinking. It's just being sick.
Nope.
It's just kind of weird. And
you're
being cooped up.
Day.
And It's just weird.
I think that the
Do we need to disclaim the Manson comment, or
why?
Are we okay?
What do you mean disclaim it?
I don't know. I just...
Well, if they know what that is, I don't think it's an issue, because we're saying it's very similar to how he manipulated his people.
Okay.
Nothing to disclaim, honey. We didn't say anything. We didn't state any
was
facts.
It, the situation was similar to that.
Correct.
Okay. All right. He gave her false hope about bringing her true love back to life. He took advantage of a heartbroken young girl and, as he said himself, made her into a monster. In my opinion, the title of the episode should have been The Monster, not The Doctor. There were so many references made to people being a monster. Frankenstein made a monster. Dr. Whale turned Daniel into a monster. Regina called Cora a monster, and Rumpel made Regina into a monster. But in my opinion, the only true monster of all in all of this is Rumpelstiltskin himself. And the only thing I would say is I know he's a master manipulator.
Mm-hmm.
But he began at a time when it would have probably been hard for her to see it for what it was, because she was so upset living with her mother. So is almost a full setup.
Well, and again, let's come back to, I mean, let's face facts. Let's ask this question, because I'd be interested to see what the answer is going to be. And I won't be surprised if it's what I think it is. But why Regina?
Yeah.
Why is he so consumed with Regina? There's got to be a reason.
Right.
So naturally, I know this sounds creepy and weird, but in a sense, it makes me kind of think he's her father. He's her real father.
Hmm. Well, we will see.
I know that sounds crazy, but as old as he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know? Or maybe she was promised to him and Cora broke that promise somehow. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities here.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why it's Regina and not some other girl like that other girl. The other girl was a plant, and we know that. But again, if Regina had, you know, pretty much decided she wasn't going to go the path he wanted her on, he should have, in theory, just said, okay, I'll find somebody else who will. And he found that girl.
Right.
So why not put her in that path? Why not make her go down that there's a reason. There's a reason that it's Regina.
Yeah. So, and I guess the only reason why I'm saying that is, you know, I think anybody can say, no, this is nuts. But I think the way he manipulated and put everything and put the plant there and put the thing and kind of set it all up that, yeah, he manipulated her right to where he wanted her.
He played her like a fiddle
because
he knows what drives her. He knows what motivates her. He understands what's going on in her head.
Yeah.
Again, why?
Yep. Okay. In closing, Lana Parrilla gave an Emmy-worthy performance in this episode. She took me on an emotional roller coaster that had me in tears by the end of it. I absolutely adore Lana's portrayal of young Regina, her voice, her facial expressions, everything, and the emotional journey that she has took present day Regina on during this episode was breathtaking. Regina's final scene with Daniel was heartbreaking. Lana's crying face broke my evil regal heart. To quote Regina herself, I think this has been quite enough. Regina has suffered enough, more than anyone else on this show, if you ask me, and she deserves to be happy. It's time for my queen to find her own happy ending. Well, this has been my first email to you guys about an episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Sincerely, Paige. And we did.
Yeah. And I will agree with her. I think Regina has been through a lot. I think that and Lana did definitely. She's again phenomenal. We've said this before. I think she's truly one of the most amazing actresses, and I love that she's getting a lot more attention now for her work. I think that's important because she's very talented. And personally, on a personal note, even though I don't know her personally, everything I've seen just, you know, screams that she's just this really amazing person. And I can see why her fans love her. I really can.
Well, she visited a children's hospital in the Vancouver area on Halloween. In the Evil Queen regalia.
Which is ridiculous and awesome. Yeah. I mean, that is what it's about right there, if you ask me. Yep. That's what it's all about. So I think that's really, and that's why I'm saying I really respect her and think she's an amazing person. I think she is a really good example for her fans. And I mean, and for other actors. I mean, that's great that she's, you know, doing that sort of thing. So,
well, and I... You know, I think that we're going to see evil characters become good on this road to redemption.
Yeah.
And we're seeing other evil characters come in. But my thinking is we may see good characters become evil.
That's a very real possibility.
You know.
Here's the thing. We've seen them do evil things already.
Right.
We've seen that already. So let's just say, I don't know if they'll become pure evil, because again, it's all about choices.
Yeah.
You know, people go through certain things in life. Why certain people react the way they do is a mystery. But, you know, two people may go on have a similar experience. One will go and go the wrong path. The other one will go the right path.
Yeah.
You know, it's all kind of a crapshoot, if you ask me. So, yeah. Now, has Regina suffered more than the other characters? On some level, I suppose she has, but I think they all have. And that's the thing. I think that's the key, is they all have. And it's how they've reacted to those things that's made them who they are.
Yeah, but I'm
just saying.
No, I think what you meant to say, because Let me add this. I think through the curse, she suffered more than she realized.
Right. I agree. I totally agree. That was not, you know.
But I mean, you've got Daniel, you've got Corey, you've got all these different things. So.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Look, I get that she's had a tough life. But her point of, and her wanting to make that curse, again, she was kind of pushed into it by Rumpel. But at the same time, you know, she could... at any point in time have said, nope, I'm not going to do this. But she made those choices. And that's the problem, is that I think everybody's like that. I think that's a very good, you know, recap of human nature. Not quite the evil part, but what I'm saying is we all make choices, and sometimes they're good ones and sometimes they're not so good. And I do think she deserves happiness. And maybe now that she's let Daniel go, maybe now she can actually find it. I'd love to see her turn around and be this really good person who then actually can help other people and defend other people and make amends for everything she's done to these other characters. And I would love for her to find true love. I mean, that'd be awesome.
Yep. You know, and maybe the true love exists now.
Maybe we have met them
already.
Maybe we have. We don't know. We don't know.
Okay. Thanks again, Paige, for that. And this is from Ryan. I still have burning questions about Whale's identity, as Colleen noted, and I instantly deduced when watching. There's still more to Whale's identity than just being old Dr. Frankie. Again, with repeated Aussian references throughout the episode, one being Whale's fairy tale land hairstyle, leader of the Lollipop Guilds, do reversed. I too think he is also with the Wizard of Oz. Here's where it gets a little hairy. I noticed Whale drawing a flower. Not a problem, right? If it fits Doctor's M.O., wrong. Big problem. It ain't a carnation. It's a sunflower, a state flower of Kansas. Later, he drew a carnation, which brings me to another favorite pre-evil Regina. I thought originally that if Once Upon a Time does Oz, then she'd be the Wicked Witch, but could she be Dorothy? Notice the long shot as Jefferson is leading her to meet Frankie Whale. It's almost identical to Dorothy and company walking down the hallway that leads to the Oz chambers. Note Regina's clothing hair. You also have mentioned August's license plate as being issued in Kansas. Could he be the Woodsman, the Tin Man?
Or the Scarecrow?
Yeah. But I mean, the
he would be more likely to be the Scarecrow than the Tin Woodsman.
Yep. If you recall, all of Dorothy's companion's enemies in the Land of Oz mirrored those in Kansas. Could they be mirroring Regina's Kansas fairy tale land? Jefferson is obviously Glinda, LOL. Chew on that, Kitsis. And those are actually valid points. You know, the whole mirroring aspect of it, you know, definitely is in play.
And, there are definitely similarities.
And people have kind of said that from the very beginning. This is Oz. This is Oz. You know, the two lands and all that kind of stuff. But, but yeah, you know, I can't let it go. I cannot let the whole Oz thing go. And Ryan, you've got some really great points here.
And, right, because if in fact he is, if he's related in some way to Oz, if he's not the Wizard of Oz himself, which would really make total sense, I could actually see him being the Tin Woodsman instead of August. August being the scarecrow.
Yeah.
Because he's made of wood, and scarecrows are frequently made of wood.
Right, right.
So I'm just, that's what I'm throwing out there.
All right. And this is from Frank. Hi again. As my voice cracks. Hi again, Jeff and Colleen. Mm-hmm. This one more thing along Jeff's lines, but here's a question to be pondered. How do you feel about Disney buying Lucasfilm? Also, I have heard someone say, wouldn't it be cool if Star Wars could be slid into Storybrooke somewhere now? What are your thoughts? I find the idea cool, but highly unlikely, even if legally speaking, it is plausible. Anyways, just thought I'd throw you another quick email. Frank, Spiderhawk. So, you know, highly unlikely. They are in the fold now, but, you know. Possibly, I don't know.
I will cautiously say I really hope not. Only because now you're getting into the totally, completely ridiculous. And that's because I'm a purist. If we're talking fairy tales, let's talk fairy tales. I can swing, you know, mythology, Greek mythology in there, because to me that's the fairy tales from that specific land or what have you. But when you start talking about Star Wars, which is totally
now,
out in space.
To be honest, the story parts of Star Wars have been throughout once upon a time.
Sure, sure.
But
I'm characters,
talking about characters, no.
I would have a lot of trouble with characters. Yeah. Personally, that's just me. I don't know.
As you can imagine, last Sunday was a very interesting.
I really hope they keep everything separate, really and truly, honestly, because, you know, throwing Star Wars into the Disney framework and vice versa, I get that they're in the same family now, but can we just keep them separate? Do we have to blend them together? I call me a stodgy old fuddy-duddy purist, but that's my personal opinion.
Yeah. Well, we do live in a country where opinion is, we can share opinions, so and we welcome yours. You could totally disagree and say, you know what, Jeff, I want to see Darth Vader get in there, and it's like, cool. That's what makes life interesting. Everybody has their own view of things, and you know, I think we do our best to show everybody's opinion, and you know, we've tried to kind of ride the line and be the positive thing. And last Sunday night was a tough watch. I have to admit, the last 10 minutes was tough because I was stymied, and I was like, wow, this changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I need to sit down with Archie, and I think we need to talk about.
Yeah, we need a session with that.
Oh, and he needs to lock the door, because I don't want Whale walking in on me. I just want to talk to Archie, just, you know. So, anyway.
Yep.
Take the phone off the hook and lock the door, because I need to talk, Archie. All right. So this is from Ryan. Okay, I see how Regina's being Dorothy theory could be confusing. I'm going to break it down two ways. Number one, all Dorothy wanted to do was go home. For Regina, home could mean returning to the times and the kind of person she was before magic. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
And home is an interesting concept. And you're right, it could mean a lot of different things.
Right, it doesn't necessarily mean a building.
Yep.
House is not a home.
Return to the kind of person she was before magic and the curse. as in she's realizing that she isn't the evil, monstrous person that she allowed herself to become, and by the other emails that Rumpelstiltskin kind of nudged her into.
Yes.
And who she still really is, a sweet, doe-eyed, innocent little girl. Yeah, and, you know, and that's why I love shows like this, where we kind of get glimpses of somebody's life through time. Mm-hmm. And we do see that not everyone who is evil was evil day one, year
right.
one. It's things happen. You know, I don't want to go off on it. Anyway, just my thoughts there. So, good point. No, okay, number two, Storybrooke is her Oz. While in Oz, Dorothy had to fight a wicked witch, which in the case could be Gold, a warlock, or Cora. Since we know her intent was to see her daughter again, it wouldn't be too far of a stretch for Cora to be the Queen of Hearts, and that's a lot of people feel that way, and the Wicked Witch, because that the Wicked Witch was Dorothy's biggest obstacle. Her test to conquer her fears and find resolve and determination to do the action she was told by the wizard would get him to help her get home. Kill the witch. What's Regina's biggest fear? Becoming like her mommy dearest. I will further explore Rumpel's probability to fill the spot when I have some free time, as I do his busy life like all the rest of us. And thank you so much, Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Interesting points, for sure.
Yeah. And we will see how things play out.
Yep. And this is from Morgan. Hey, Jeff and Colleen. Morgan here. I just finished watching this week's episode for the second time and listening to the First Thoughts episode. First of all, I know last week you guys, especially Colleen, got some gruff over your opinions about who Dr. Whale could be. Wait till the emails start now. I just like to say the whole reason I listen to you guys is because you bring so many different theories to the table, and I really appreciate that. It gives me and other listeners so much to go off of, imagine, and build on. I love it when you guys think of all the possible theories and those that would work best with the show. It really shows how much you love the love you have for this show and how interesting it can be. I think that's the most intriguing thing about this show. Another reason I love you guys is that you don't do spoilers, and I hate them as much as you guys and love your show because you avoid them. So thanks for that, except for maybe a title. Sorry. Anyway, I know it's sometimes easy to assume we know everything that's going to happen, and it's good to have you guys keep us. It's good to have you two to keep us second-guessing yourselves and expanding. Thank you. Now on to the show. And thank you very much for that.
Yes, thank you.
I really enjoyed this episode, not only because it was so perfectly themed around Halloween and it had such a iconic story, but because it really helped me gain a new appreciation for some characters. Cough, Jefferson, cough. And that's true, actually. I've never seen a fun Jefferson.
He's been very
He's always
serious.
Been this very kind of, you know, moody, whatever.
Serious, crazy dude.
Right. I have to go here. It's kind of like Yoda in Empire Strikes Back, the fun little, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But all the rest of the Yodas we've seen are very serious and all this. But yeah, it was fun to see Jefferson kind of playing a role. And anyway, so.
Yes.
I knew appreciate for some characters, Cough, Jefferson Cough, I didn't have before. So I guess I'll start with that. Ever since Hat Trick, I've never been a big fan of Jefferson's character. He's always been moody, yep, depressing, and not Hatterish at all. If you read Alice in Wonderland, you know Hatter is anything but sullen. However, I really, really enjoyed his character in this episode. Finally, we see a Hatter that's eccentric and quirky as well as a bit as well as a bit odd. Much, much more of the Hatter persona. I really hope we see more of this Hatter in episodes to come. I thought he, Rumpel, and Frankenstein had some great chemistry, especially the last scene with the three. David Anders, while I always kind of liked his sleazy man act, I truly loved this fairy tale character. I, too, noticed that he had a bit of an English accent, but it worked for me. I guess I would have liked it if he would have had in Storybrooke, now that the curse is broken, but oh well. The idea of having one character play two, sometimes completely different characters, is one of the things that initially drew me to the show. David Anders as Dr. Whale, Dr. Frankenstein, really reminded me what a great job these actors do of creating two separate characters in one episode. Going off of your thoughts, I completely agree that he is more than one character, specifically the Wizard of Oz, for several reasons. When Jefferson talked to Rumpel about the crystal ball and slippers, it would make sense for him to mention a wizard to Regina, having just met him in Oz. It would be fresh in his mind. The original, number two, the original illustrations for the Wizard of Oz book, the Emerald City, was green not because it was made of a green material, but because everyone had to wear green glasses that looked exactly like the ones Dr. Frankenstein was wearing while drawing the sunflower. And number three, the man behind curtain. Love the connection. Way to go, Colleen. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Sonia, I'm leaning towards Wizard.
I don't think Oz is too far off.
And nope.
You know, you can call me nutty, crazy, but I'm holding on to that. So, you know, and I know it's coming, but it's just, I'm excited for that. You know, there's a lot of people who get excited for certain characters and things.
Right.
I'm excited for that. So.
Right. Well, and here's an interesting little twist thought process to go with. So the last little bit was him basically reviving his brother as Dr. Frankenstein. But what if he was the wizard before he was Dr. Frankenstein, and after he gave all that advice, that it was, you know, with, they had all those things all along, the Dorothy, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Lion. What if he took his own advice and started doing the experimentation, and that's when he became Dr. Frankenstein, so to speak?
Yeah.
I mean, he's always been Dr. Frankenstein. That's probably his name. But what I'm saying is the Wizard of Oz eventually actually morphed into Dr. Frankenstein. I'm just saying.
Well, and I don't think, I think that's the only little ledge I can stand on,
mm-hmm.
is that a heart was given to a creature. That's the only kind of little thing I can go on.
Mm-hmm.
As far as integrating it into the story. But anyhow, so random thoughts. Where the heck is poor August? Frowny face. Can't believe we haven't seen anything from him since he opened his eyes. And that's true. And I don't.
Tragedy. We need to know what happened to him.
You know, I mean, the only thing I'm thinking of is maybe he's doing something to redeem himself or some things. And I don't know what those could be. But he has to fulfill those three things to become real again.
I think he's hiding from everyone because he's still in his wooden form.
But what is he doing, though? He has to be doing something.
Maybe. Or, like I said, maybe he got caught up in the whole Wraith thing, too. And he's trapped somewhere where he can't get out and somebody's going to find him somewhere.
Okay.
Or he's looking for Marco, Geppetto.
Wait until he should have just waited.
Well, I know he probably should have, but by the way, how did he know? He has no idea what's going on because he's been wooden, asleep.
I think that he's at the school or something with the blue fairies trying to figure out what to do.
Could be.
That's what I think. I will continue. I always had a theory that Bay possibly might be found using Jefferson's hat, but obviously we know it only travels through magical realms. Good to know. Rumpel said, "You've helped create my monster, this monster being Regina. The failure of bringing Daniel back to life gave her that push to truly turn evil. It even shows in Regina's costuming. When she returns to Rumpel and rips the other girl's heart out, she changed into her tight black leather ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
Her brown flowing innocent costume from early in the episode. She changed. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rumpel.
Her appearance changed. Big
yes.
time.
And Rumpel really is behind everything. Think of how long and how closely he must have been planning everything. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I still wonder if he's written it all down somewhere, because that's, yeah. Anyway.
Yep.
Does anyone else think Daniel looks like mid-80s David Bowie.
Yes. Darker hair, but yeah.
Ha ha ha. This, his face anyway. Maybe it's just me.
Yep. So. No, I agree. I think he looks very similar to David Bowie.
And that was, you know, I remember some of the tweets right after the spoiler people saw the scene being filmed that night. There was a little bit of confusion about who that was.
Yes, there was.
And there's people that thought it was Eric, Prince Eric.
From Little Mermaid, yep.
All these different things, and so.
Which, at that point in time, we really didn't know because there was nothing to, like, there was nothing to, you know, indicate that it was him. We couldn't see from where we were standing. We didn't get a chance to meet him, so we didn't know.
Right.
So in all fairness, it was, we all thought it was Daniel. We just weren't sure.
You know,
and we thought, well, if it's not him and he's supposed to be dead, then how is that, you know, how is that possible?
Right. Once we get completely out of debt, I will have a camera that I'll be able to zoom in to the moon. But, I mean, I only had my camera and I couldn't really
And it was nighttime and there was rain coming down. So, yeah, that's kind of the problem.
And I took blurry pictures of Lana. Anyway, so that's just, that's that. But yeah. So can't wait to hear what you guys think. Always happy to hear your thoughts. Thanks for the great show. As always, to the listeners, you can follow Morgan at Morgan L. Potter on Twitter if you'd like. Big love to all. From Morgan.
Okay.
We heard a sound in the house.
It's not the dog.
So we're recording, so anyway.
Shall I go investigate?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. We just heard a strange little sound, so we went to investigate. It was nothing there, but it's almost kind of like an audio Blair Witch Project or something, you know. Two people recording a podcast all alone in the house, and something happens. And anyway.
Did the sound really happen, though? Did something happen, though?
Because I heard something.
I heard it, too, and I think something just probably fell, like a plate or something fell from the dish drainer.
All right. Thank you, Morgan, for that email. And this is from Karel. I think that's right. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. Actually, you know what? I have been saying this wrong. Most of the emails have been Colleen and Jeff. So I stand corrected. You are taking top billing, you with your knitting needles over there.
Probably because of the comment last show.
Which one?
In the live show, remember we talked about it? One was specifically addressed to me and they made a point of saying something, and then I made a comment about, most of the emails are addressed to you first.
Oh, correct.
So
I think
people are now doing that as a joke.
Yes.
As a funny, funny thing, and I think it's very hilarious.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
So it says, hi, Colleen and Jeff. And then there's been a number of them, but I just kind of fell into Jeff and Colleen. I'm sorry about that.
you are.
So I'm afraid they've done a little more retconning. So retconning is changing of storyline, and they call it retroactive continuity.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
I will continue. I'm afraid they've done a little more retcon this week, and I'm a little disappointed. These guys are from Lost. They should have known better that their viewers pay attention. Originally, they showed Daniel buried in a grave outdoors. They even reminded us of it in the previously on clips. But now they're trying to say that he was preserved at the moment of death by magic in a glass coffin in the mausoleum. Being the fact that Regina didn't know magic at the time, didn't learn magic until after he died, it just doesn't fit. I'm watching the show, but I'm becoming a little skeptical. Loyal listener and dedicated Deary. See, we got a Deary.
Woohoo!
Karel.
I have to admit, that's a very good point. And it didn't click in my head why that seemed odd that he'd be in the glass coffin. But that's a very good point. Because, seriously, he was buried outside. Regina didn't preserve him when he died because she didn't know magic, right?
Right.
So yeah, that's a big, huge problem. How are they? Yeah. How are they explaining that one?
Yeah. Well, you know, and I guess we need to ask them on the official podcast. So, anyway,
I hope somebody does, because yeah. I'd like to know.
Yeah.
How?
That's
how
a val- that's a valid that's question. Valid, you know,
that's
now
a great observation.
Look, maybe, but no. It's a valid point. Now it's a valid point.
Right.
She did not know magic.
Right.
Until
she had
after.
No idea. And she stayed and she preserved him. And it's like, try again. Try again.
Wow. I don't have an answer.
It's a flawless argument. So, yeah, I think that's interesting.
Okay. Okay. And this is from Abby. And, she sent this as a DM. If the stranger, do we think the stranger in Broken is the author of Henry's book? I think the author is either Rumpelstiltskin or someone we have not met as yet. But hey, until we kind of figure out who the mystery man is from Broken.
Yeah, which we haven't seen that guy since that episode.
Right, right.
So, is that guy going to show up? Is that guy going to just pop in out of nowhere? We'll see.
Yeah.
As for the author, I've kind of always thought it was Rumpel because it makes sense. He kept himself out of it. Rumpel's not in the book. So,
yeah.
It kind of was one of those things of, you know.
Valid point, yeah.
He's not in the book because Henry didn't know who he was.
All right, and this is another from Twitter. This is from Jorge. Thank you, Jorge, for this. What Regina did was remove the preservation spell so the body decomposed instantly since he had been dead for over 30 years. So that's why that happened. I didn't.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't realize that. But anyway, thank you for that. And one more from Twitter. This is from Dave in Oregon, and we had dinner with Dave.
We did.
Yep. Hi, you guys.
When he was down here.
Yes. And we went to a restaurant that was on Hell's Kitchen.
Yes.
Or one of those kitchen shows where the guy yells at him.
Pretty sure it was Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay.
Hi, you guys. I may not be the first to offer this theory. Haven't heard the latest podcast, but I'm thinking that Rumpel's son actually went to Neverland and became Peter Pan. So that's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just, this place, this safe haven just doesn't, there's nothing there that is Neverlandy. I don't know. I just,
well,
maybe I'm.
And considering the fact that they are taking great license with doing whatever the heck they feel like with these characters, a la blending people into multiple characters into one person. Making Dr. Frankenstein fit into this world. Who says Neverland's going to look anything like what we think Neverland would look like?
But I guess to make Neverland, so I'm looking for something. They're a magical place, a magical spot, something that would kind of, and maybe we haven't seen it yet,
was
but
Neverland
everyone's killed.
Magical?
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know.
Neverland itself, was it magical?
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Yep. So it.
The only magic property it had is you never grew up.
Right.
Beyond that, Tinkerbell had magic. She's
yep.
a pixie. And the. Yeah, that's about it.
You know, and the only. I'll go this far with Dave. Is. Maybe Bay, because he has such a, you know, most of these characters, most of them, had such awful lives growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Just the worst childhoods ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, and that's really a great flip side to these fairy tales where everything's perfect and, you know, everything just works out. But if you think about it, most all of these characters are just awful, you know, young lives.
Well, think about it, though. That's the crux and the basis of a lot of the fairy tales to begin with.
Right, but Bay, I'll go with you this far. Bay being Peter Pan might be Bay just, what do they call it, arrested development, where you don't grow up. You just don't. You could be older, but you don't want to face stuff.
Sure.
You know, and you just say, I'm not growing up. That's it. You know, and so it's not a, it's a twist.
Talking about being,
to the classic, anyway, so just my thought.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. So let's play just a couple of voicemails.
Okay.
This is a wild, wild podcast tonight. Just wild.
When I'm coming down off of, I mean, you have flu stuff, but I had a cold this week and yeah. I'm still like recovering. So.
Okay. All right. Kind of like I mentioned before. I'm just going to play this.
Okay. Let's
do it. Here we go.
Hey guys, it's Janelle. I want to say hi. Thanks for the shout out on the Lady of the Lake live episode. I wasn't able to listen. I was celebrating my husband's birthday. It's just been crazy. So I wanted to say thank you for that because it should be up this morning when I got it. I'm on my break right now, so I'm trying to make this quick. October's just been bad, so I haven't really been able to keep up with any of the podcasts and sitting here at work now listening to them, trying to catch up on them. But I would like to ask everyone, my husband has a tumor in his parotid gland. He has had several. He's had them taken out, but they usually take forever to grow. This new one popped up in like 5 days, and we're waiting for biopsy results. And on top of this, it's just things have been rocky between us anyway. And trying to find an inner strength. So if you guys could say prayers, light candles, do whatever you guys do to send the good mojo our way, it would be wonderful. As far as episode 5, oh my God, I called it. I was so right after I saw this neat freak. One of the girls that I work with is the ones I do, and we were just going nuts over it. So. But I just wanted to say hi, and I will talk to you guys later. Hopefully I can catch a live show this Saturday. Bye.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
And
very sorry to hear that.
Sorry to hear about your husband, for sure.
It's very tough.
We'll be sending prayers your way. And, you know, like I mentioned before, it's a pretty varied listenership that we've got. But, you know, we do want to send good vibes your way and healing power and whatever, you know, light candles or something. But, you know, we're all in this together. This is, life is not easy. You know, it's funny how you think back to when was it easy? You know, and there may have been certain points, but it is hard.
When we were kids.
And, so yeah, we're all in this thing together, and so we hope things get better. It sounds like there's a lot of different things going on, but we'll be sending prayers your way, and so thank you so much for, you know, with everything else that's going on, you know, we hope that we make you laugh and think and mm-hmm. take your mind off things. I mean, that's kind of, I think, at the point of entertainment, that's hopefully it makes you forget about things that you know, bring you down.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it sounds like there's a lot of serious things going on, and we hope and pray things get better. So
yes, that's true.
Anyway, so if you know Janelle on Facebook, just, you know, send a little good status updates and say hi. I know she's a member of the Facebook fan page, so you can say hi to her there if you like it.
Yep.
If you like our page there. So anyway, thanks so much for the call. And I also sent her a big love pack mm-hmm. too. So cool. I think she mentioned that. All right. This is... next voicemail here.
Jess and Colleen. This is Paige. And this is the first voicemail I am ever leaving for this podcast. I'm not going to lie. For some reason, I don't know why I'm a little bit nervous about it. But we're going to see how this goes. I had a lot of thoughts and feelings about this last episode, The Doctor. I think I'm actually going to split this up into two voicemails. We'll see how it goes. So needless to say, as an evil regal, I was pretty emotionally devastated by this episode. There were lots of tears. I think I'm going to leave all my thoughts on Regina for my second voicemail because I think I need a bit more time to be coherent about that and fully collect my thoughts. But one thing that I did want to talk about and agree with you with, Colleen, is I think I kind of share a little bit of your frustration about this episode. I feel like they tried to make the Dr. Whale reveal a surprise, and it just didn't work because they gave so much away in the promo. I feel like they tried to do what they did with August in The Return, and that the whole time in The Return, they made you think August was Balefire, and then it turns out that he's Pinocchio in the end. And I feel like that's what they tried to do here with Dr. Will. You know, there were so many hints that he was the Wizard of Oz. There were all these hints. In the whole episode, you're thinking, oh, he's the Wizard of Oz. And I feel like if they wouldn't have given his identity away so much in the promo, that would have worked. And people would have totally thought through the whole episode, oh, my gosh, he's the Wizard of Oz. And then at the end, obviously, he's Dr. Frankenstein. And I feel like the shock factor they were going for and the surprise factor was kind of ruined a little bit by the promo because they gave so much away in the promo. And I know, I don't know if anyone else saw it, but Jane Espenson had tweeted earlier in the day on Sunday, like, oh, it's the best ending ever. And I mean, after the ending, I was a bit disappointed because they did give so much away in the promo, and it's like the surprise is gone. I felt like a surprise factor could have been entered in if they would have lifted up the sheet, and the monster would have been somebody we knew. And I feel like that would have been a genuine shock. But, you know, it is what it is, and like you guys said, they've not been shy about it.
She did call back, but
oh, yeah, yeah. The shock just wasn't there, and it was a little disappointing that they're, you know, they could have done, you know, what they did with, like she said, August in The Return. So, I agree. I totally agree.
So here is her next voicemail.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. This is Paige again. I did get cut off in my first voicemail, so I'm sorry about that. But like I was saying, you know, the show has not been shy about having characters be two different characters. So for all we know, Dr. Frankenstein could also be the Wizard of Oz. Whether he is or not, I really did appreciate all the Wizard of Oz references, and I know that the creators have said that they plan on doing an Oz episode in the future, and I, for one, am very excited about it. I do have a lot of thoughts about Regina from this episode, and maybe I will write in an email because I know if I tried to voice them, I'd get cut off again. But I will say that all the Regina and Daniel scenes absolutely broke my heart. I was sobbing pretty much. And Lana Parrilla gave an Emmy-worthy performance in The Doctor in every episode, but especially in this episode. And she had me in tears, and she was amazing, as was everybody else. This episode broke me. Emotional breakdown. All right. I know I have more thoughts. If I can, if I have time, I will write an email. But I hope you enjoyed my voicemails, and I hope they were okay since this is my first voicemail. All right. Thanks, you guys. Bye.
Thanks, Paige, so much for the voicemail and the email.
Yes.
We enjoyed both, and I was thinking about the, you know, the way this podcast has been set up. You know, we have first thoughts. It was just us. Mm-hmm. And then we have up to now we had the two shows. We had the voicemail show, which has now kind of been pulled together into the live show that we do, or not tonight specifically, but,
right, but
we put them together. And it's just, I love reading these emails and playing these voicemails and having us all work together to really mine down and find all these really great nuggets. You know, this has been a really, really cool evening, except for us feeling kind of awful.
Yeah. Not feeling
physically. 100%. It's just, this is a classic moment, you know, and I've been off the cuff and saying some things. And I'm going, am I got myself in trouble? Did I say anything really bad? But anyway, because, you know, the show's different and we're us. And I think that's what has made this what it is. So,
right.
But anyway, I just want to thank everybody that takes the time. We appreciate every email, every voicemail that comes in. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of podcasts out there, and you may listen to more than one Once Upon a Time podcast. But I thank you for listening to this one.
Yes.
It takes time. It is not easy. You know, so people listen on their commute. People listen to pilots in a plane. They listen on a bus. They listen in the car. You know, thank you for that. You know, but I also thank people because I know there's different types of listeners. There's listeners and there's listeners that are on Twitter, but they may not send emails all the time.
Right.
But then there's emails. Then there's listeners that send the emails that really sit down and kind of wrestle things around and say, man, there's just something. I noticed something or something has been. And it was just another great example of that tonight. So I just want to thank you for sending emails, for sending voicemails. They really mean so much. And I remember one week they kind of dropped off and I went, oh my, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
See, this is the reason why I love it. We all get together. We all share our views and it's just so much fun.
Yep.
And that's the fun of the podcast. So anyway, final voicemail here. This is from Marissa.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. It's Marissa. Just wanted to leave some thoughts about the saddest and most heartbreaking episode, I believe, of Once Upon a Time to date, The Doctor. All I know is that Archie has a lot more patience now because all of us evil regals are just absolutely heartbroken and devastated over that episode. I really think it was the saddest episode. I know Paige and I are still recovering and, you know, still crying about it. First off, just can someone just give Lana Perea an Emmy already? She was absolutely incredible and just perfection. And to be able to see, you know, her in this role play a young Regina and see her very first transition to, you know, the Evil Queen was amazing, and it's just a testament to her absolutely incredible talent. She is amazing. I really hope she starts to get more recognition. This episode, I mean, there's not really much to say except just so many tears and so much heartbreak. To lose someone once is devastating. To really lose someone three times like she did is unbearable. I mean, the first goodbye when, you know, she lost Daniel, and the second one when she thought Dr. Frankenstein was going to bring him back and he couldn't, and then the third time when, you know, after so many years she was able to see him again and had to, you know, end his suffering because it wasn't really him. I mean,
that's a great point. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was three, but you're absolutely right.
I didn't think about it either, and she's absolutely
wow.
Right. Yeah, it's a great observation.
Wow, see?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great point that you bring out. So,
yeah, it was pretty heartbreaking. I was pretty heartbroken for her when, you know, she was so hopeful, you know, when Frankenstein tried to bring him back that first time. And she was just so hopeful. And then to have him just dash her hopes That was really gut-wrenching. And then when she had to end Daniel herself, that was just, I felt very badly for her. I did. I felt for her.
Yeah. Yep. So great point, and there's still more voicemails. So here we go.
Excellent. Such incredible devastation that has come over this character is just one of the many reasons why I know myself and Paige and countless evil regals just love this character so much because of all that she's suffered and all that she's made it through. The restraint she showed when, not using magic with charming, I thought was such a testament to how far she's come and how, you know, this was different. This was Daniel. She wasn't just going to use magic on anybody. It was just too raw and too emotional. And I think it was just an incredible, incredible episode. It's really, really.
Well, the one thing I wanted to add, too, is I think she righted in her own way a wrong that Cora started.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
You know, she wanted to end Daniel's suffering. And, you know, she still wouldn't let go of him, and that in a few obviously other things that we didn't see how he was brought back. We didn't see that.
No.
But that was that pain of, you know, you need to let go. You know, that's a theme that was in Lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And but, you know, there's a lot of these stories about, you know, people see ghosts and it's because, you know, there's still something that hasn't been done or there somebody needs to let go.
Right.
Right. But yeah, it was pretty, you know, pretty emotional. The whole idea of that she had to do that because mm-hmm. it wasn't the same.
Right. Well, so, she knew.
Yeah. But great point.
Interesting to see where she goes from here and how she can start to move on and, you know, have some closure from that. Anyway, I just wanted to let that out. Big love to you guys. Hope you're well. And just anyone who's listening on the East Coast, sending all my thoughts to you guys. I'm in Connecticut, but my thoughts are with all who were affected. Big love to everyone. Bye.
Thanks so much, Marissa.
Thanks,
and
Marissa.
great thoughts. I that's why I love to have everybody together, because other people notice things that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think anyone spots everything.
No,
and that's what's really great about a conversation about, you know, a great show like this. And I don't think there's much to add, you know,
no,
to that.
She had the right of it, and she put it very beautifully. So
yeah. So thank you so much for everyone who listened, downloaded, found us somewhere, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. And maybe if you see that, you know, the first thoughts or this episode, you see the tweet, and if you retweet it out, that's how some people, when we took the initial poll, that's how some people found us, is that a friend of theirs tweeted out a retweet mm-hmm. with the link. So that's how they found it. But yeah, so cool. Lots of great thoughts tonight. And I want to send big love, especially to the East Coast.
Yes.
Those folks, you know, New York, man, always getting knocked around, and New Jersey, and just, man. So hang in there. It's just been a wild weather time. But big love to you guys. Big love to everybody. And a special big love to Janelle. And if you can, you know, kind of find her on Facebook and say hi or give her some kind of lift to her spirits and send some prayers her way. Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
Yeah.
So, okay. So the past is in the past. We move forward now.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow is a brand new Once Upon a Time episode. I seriously, I'm excited.
Me too.
To see Emma's backstory and to see the new twists and turns they've got. And
Jorge Garcia from Lost.
Mr. Jorge.
We loved him.
We will see him, dude.
Yeah. And and by the way, he was awesome in Alcatraz too. That was another show I really loved, and they got rid of that. And so I'm excited to see him back on TV again. He needs to be on TV more. He's awesome.
All right. This has been a wild show, so I guess I've just been freewheeling with my thoughts tonight. So we'll pick up the pieces as we go forward. So you know our email, you know our voicemail, and you know, if you think to, you can please use our Amazon link, store.onceuponatimepodcast.com. We really appreciate it. It does help. And we will talk to you soon. See you guys.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceovers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceovers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.